Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening, listening audience, and welcome again to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to engage you in yet another proactive dialogue and conversation. As you know, Talk Straight is a part of a national dialogue that is a subpart of Building Families and Communities Institute's efforts to share information and research and to make a difference in the lives of individuals, communities, and families. Our website is www.bfcinstitute.com. We invite you to go there and learn a great deal about us. Tonight, we have a episode here dealing with a very important piece. Now, we've covered about 38 previous episodes to date, and we've strived to address real-life issues confronting our listening audience. We have a new market that we're targeting tonight on the broader national level, and we hope that if you're new to the show, that you will appreciate the information we provide in our format. That includes basically a opening monologue where we provide backdrop and context for our conversation tonight. We were hoping to have a guest panelist, but we were not able to get them in time enough. So we will invite them again, which is an entrepreneur. We'll follow up on that again. But perhaps later on we'll have our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, to join us. And we hope you will join us as well. You may do so by calling 657-383-0944. If you're on your cell phone, simply pick us up and give us a call here at the studio. You listen to us online. You can listen to us live. If you're listening to us via our Facebook link and invitation, I welcome you to do so. Or our Twitter, you may gain us that way. Or go to the blogtalkradio.com site and look for BFC Institute. Either way, we welcome you to call us here at 657-383-0944 and join the conversation. Now, having said all of that, we're going to offer a monologue. And again, the topic tonight, how to become an entrepreneur. One major aim of the public education system is to prepare young people to become productive in society. The focus is on training individuals to obtain a, quote, good job, end quote, after graduating high school and or college. While there is security in the thought of working for someone else in a pre-established job, there are limitations to how one controls their quality of life. Tonight, yours truly, Reverend Dockery, and invite you to call in as we open the mic or the phone lines to you to hear from you, your thoughts, your questions, your comments. And we do ask that you keep it relevant to our topic tonight, how to become an entrepreneur. And we'll be happy to engage you in that thought. As you know, after the show tonight, you can archive this particular episode as often as you wish and share with your friends and invite them to join us and continue dialogue with various other topics as well. All right. Now, we're going to go ahead and give our monologue here, and hopefully we'll be able to entertain you, but we'll keep going forward until then. Genesis, the first chapter, in the 29th verse, this is the King James Version text, reads, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and to which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." Clearly, the text suggests that the natural resources of the earth were given to the man created by Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, at the beginning of creation. And these natural resources from the earth were intended to help sustain his life. The origin of the word entrepreneur. Story goes something like this. The word entrepreneur originally comes from the combination of two Latin words, entre, meaning to swim out, and prendes, to grasp, understand, or capture. In the year 1800, French-Irish economist Jean-Baptiste Say combined the two words to bring us the popular term now, entrepreneur. Baptiste Say was a big fan of Adam Smith's 1776 book, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. But he noticed a serious flaw in his idol's magnum opus. The mission of the enterprising businessman. Say rectified this in his 1800 treatise of political economy, where he wrote, "The entrepreneur shifts economic resources out of an area of lower into an area of higher productivity and greater yield." In Say's mind, the entrepreneur was something of a resource hacker, able to use slight or scantly resources to create innovative products. I'd like to briefly offer you 10 considerations relative to characteristics of an entrepreneur, a risk taker. When you set out to become an entrepreneur, it will require you to set very clear goals along the way. You have to have micro goals or larger goals as well as smaller goals, long-term and short-term, in order for you to map out how you will be successful in meeting those goals. This type of workload and challenge is enough for the average person to throw up their hands and quit when they're pursuing the entrepreneurial path. Oftentimes, things don't quite go like you want them to. You have to be determined from the very beginning if you're going to be successful at the end. And you have to make this in your mind before you even start. The second thing is not being afraid to take risk, for that is the primary characteristic of an entrepreneur, a risk taker. And if you don't have that, you don't have much of anything. So some of the most successful entrepreneurs took major risks. But guess what? It paid off in large ways. When most people hear the word risk, they relate it to financial risk or failure. Many would assume it isn't possible to start a business if you don't have much. But those who aren't afraid to take what they have, they don't see things in such a limited grasp or frame of thought. Number three, high level of confidence. Entrepreneurs that have a high level of confidence are able to get the job done, even under the most stressful conditions. They understand that big challenges breed big rewards. This is the same mentality that allows successful entrepreneurs to spot an opportunity when most just see a possible challenge. When most focus on the challenge, a successful entrepreneur focuses on the finish line and what is at the end in terms of the reward. Number four, you have to crave learning. You have to stay sharp, and that requires that you're constantly learning and keeping your ears and your eyes open. Industries constantly change and they evolve. Some people say, well, ain't no jobs, ain't no opportunities, what am I going to do? Only those that are also going through the constant learning can stay ahead, knowing where and how to create opportunities when they don't exist. Stay alert, be aware of where there is a need to be fulfilled. Reading helps, and keeping up with various markets and industries that are related to your best skills and talents help you to know where there's a potential opportunity. Number five, understand failure is a part of the game. Few first ventures work out. In fact, quite often they say if you can stay in business for 3 years, you can survive. And most people are afraid to deal with the ups and the downs that naturally comes with starting, especially when you're starting out from the beginning. Failure is a part of success. If it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger. In fact, you learn how to sharpen your best ideas when you have a setback. And you're not of the mindset, I'm going to quit and give up right now. So life is a real classroom about your business. Passion fuels the drive and determination required to be successful. Whether you are building a company from the ground up or buying an internet business that already has a proven track record, you have to thoroughly enjoy what you're doing. You have to own it. There will be a long days and nights, and sometimes there will be, again, moments where you'll be fully consumed with just your business. But guess what? It's yours. And if you don't believe in your business concept, why should you expect anyone else to pay for it or to believe in it for you? But your lack of belief could lead to its collapse. Seven, be adaptable. Entrepreneurs had the ability to see what was hiding around the corner. And that's in real life, period. It would make things easier. No, you don't know what next week is going to, what kind of monkey wrench or ball curve you'll get next week. But as an entrepreneur, you have to learn to adapt to the changing circumstance. You don't always know what your customer base is going to do or think or what may cause them to be happy or frustrated with you or your product, but you got to learn to adapt and find out what their interests are. 8, good understanding of money management. Now, particularly for African Americans, one of the National Chamber of Commerce indicate one of the major reasons the business don't do well and don't survive is their lack of ability to manage resources. Whether you are pulling yourself up by your bootstraps with pennies that you saved in a jug, or you have credit cards that you are maxing out to keep your business going, or you found some investors, people give you money, you must have excellent money management skills in order to survive. And that requires you to be sure that you're not making poor decisions as to where you're spending your money or you're taking risks with the limited resources that you have. If you use it right, it'll profit you. 9, expert at networking. You have to become an expert at networking. Now, let's make a difference here. A large collection of business cards on your desk and a huge contact list that you've come up with don't make you an expert in networking. But to the contrary, building value-based relationships that are truly meaningful is what networking is about. The average young person who learns how to get along with other people and how to grow and how to show and prove themselves useful, that's what good networking is. So you can't be ugly and mean and nasty and antisocial, but you have to put yourself in a position where you engage people and you're able to build those good, healthy relationships. Down the road, when you get ready to kick your business off, those are the first people you come to. When they know that you got good, strong character, you're reliable and dependable, you cannot have a dime in your pocket. But because they know who you are, they're willing to help you get off the ground. Lastly, 10, ability to sell and promote. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe in your product, if you start a business today, you are the business and the business is you. You've got to treat it. If somebody comes against your business, it's just like coming up against you. If you don't believe in your product, there's no reason for you to expect others to believe in it. So you've got to put everything that you have into that. You have to know how to sell it. First of all, know who needs it. And where there's a need, you supply where that demand is. These are principles of economics. And when you can demonstrate your ability to meet a need and to supply a demand, you're in good shape. There are 3 things that I believe God intended to make you and your idea, your business successful, if you're going to be successful. 1, ask yourself, how can I use what God has given me to give him the praise? 2, how can I use this same concept to serve a need in humanity, wherever there is one? And then lastly, how can I eat and take care of myself to stay alive in the game? Get those 3 good things going, you're in pretty good shape. We're talking about how to become an entrepreneur. This is Talk Straight, your host Reuben Dockery, and my good friend Pastor Ricky Wallace on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How you doing there, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine.
I definitely believe you.
Okay. Tell me where we went wrong with our monologue, sir.
Man, I'm trying to, you know, if I was a teacher, you know, of grading someone who would ask that question, man, they would think I was showing favoritism, man. So, you know, all the things that you said, man, you know, you taught me as a teacher. You know, I learned so much just by you sharing the things that you've shared up to this point. So I can't do nothing but grade and say, man, that right there is what we need. You know,
okay.
We need to hear You know, the Bible states very clear, and I'm sure, you know, I myself would admit I haven't always known what the Bible says, but, you know, the Bible says, according to chapter 4, verse 7, it says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Yeah. But in all you're getting, get understanding. Man,
get
you taught me.
That'll preach right there.
Yeah. You taught me well. You taught me well, man. I'm trusting someone that's tuned in. You know, we get a lot out of that. You're talking about learning how to become, if you are not, an entrepreneur. Man, that, for me, you know, I got to sit back and be taught, man. I mean, what is that? What does that mean? And then you broke it down. And I was like, well, I said, you can give a benediction now, you know, from what you shared. Man, outstanding, brother, outstanding. Simply because I didn't see wrong in that. And I want to say that to you. I humbly say that because I often wonder if that's what an entrepreneur is, you know, someone who know how to do the things that you said, for instance, sales. And, you know, and you hit me so hard because I didn't know nothing about that when I was doing the things that I was doing. You know, I got to say it like it is. I spent most of my life bent over in a feeble position. You know, I had my head down.
Right,
you know,
right,
and I was handling a lot of money, but I was at will, so I had no knowledge, no wisdom, no understanding at all of that. I was an entrepreneur, but I self-destruct because of the lack of knowledge.
Right, right.
So you saying that don't make you an entrepreneur because of this, that, and the other. I mean, you went to sharing things, man, and I'm saying to myself, man, so you, because I was going to ask you that question before you got to saying all these things. I said, so you mean to tell me that I had an inkling of what an entrepreneur is really all about? You know, having a product and making sure that, you know, you making sure that people was going to want it. You know, and not only that, did they want it, they felt like they had to have it.
Right.
But I just looked at it in a sad, sad, sad case for me. You know, and then I wanted to look at the positive side now and say that there's, that you do something positive and make sure that the people would want what you need to put effort to get it, you know, and things of that nature. So I just want to thank you for you bringing that up, man. I thought it was to understand something so plain and simple as you put it. You know, in many areas of life, people can become that or who are that and how to exercise it. I just thought it was very unique on how you shared that. So I just want to sit back and embrace more.
You raised a very good question and a relevant one, I might add, because most people, sir, they tend to do things unconsciously, not knowing that they have an expertise within them. But there is this fear that if I step out on what I know and I do well, right? No, nobody's giving me a degree in that. No, nobody recognized it. But if I don't recognize my gift, my talent, and I'm afraid to step out on that, then the best thing I have to offer, I'll hold that in. You know?
Man.
And I want to emphasize that that's what an entrepreneur is, someone who is willing to step outside of the norm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And take a risk. And take a risk.
Yeah. And you said risk takers, man. I said, you were just all over me, man. And I was like, wait a minute. Hold it. Someone who's willing to take a risk. And who have confidence, man, in themselves. So you're saying there's nothing wrong with having confidence in your product or in yourself.
There you go.
There's nothing egotistical about it. It's a very humble thing. So that's what I got out of it. You know, it's taking a risk because risk takers, you know, they take risks. And that's what I knew when you shared that. It just gave me a flashback. I said, man, this man is talking about just taking a risk, you know, stepping out on faith. You know, I don't have a lot to offer now that I no longer have what I used to have when I was in my ignorance. But what about starting right where I am, you know, saying, okay, I have little or no help at all, but I do have one thing.
Okay.
I have something instilled in me, and you just said it. And that's, you know, that's basically to say don't be afraid to take the risk because,
right,
after all, you're talking about doing something positive now because you took,
right,
a lot of risk. I mean, years, man, of my life. I mean, that was a risk. I was a risk taker, and saying that in a boasting way.
Hello, we are
that,
not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep.
Yeah, what you said made a lot of sense, man. And it's just like you have to take a risk, and especially if you have it to offer now, not just to be lollygagging. But if you have really actually something that's instilled in you, you say,
right,
that I have a right to have confidence in what it is that I can do, man. And I just want to thank you for sharing that, man. You remember earlier I said you can go on and give a benediction? Well, I meant that, man. I mean, that's how strong and powerful that was to me. You know, it kind of raised me up from that bowed down head that I was in for all those years. It's like, man, did you hear what the brother just said? You know, and I didn't have no knowledge of entrepreneurship at that time, man. It wasn't even mentioned.
But you were.
When I was,
but guess what?
You were kind of,
guess what? But I don't mean to cut you off, but guess what, man? You were hot, man. Back in the day, you were hot, man. Everybody would come to you, wasn't it?
Man, I'm talking about, I mean, 24 hours, man. When I was asleep, they would see it coming. You know, and
you understand what I'm
so
saying?
It hit me hard, man, when you said that. I said, man. Didn't have
but
no
now,
go ahead.
But wouldn't you agree that the average dope dealer and hustler on the street have those same, they don't know that they have many of those characteristics I just described.
If you be honest and just what I just said, I mean, you know, if you be honest and look at that, I'm a witness of it, and I admit that I was ignorant. And, yes, I had it and didn't even know it. But
right.
I was actually carrying it out in an unrighteous manner, with not even intentionally doing it in an unrighteous manner. It just was doing a lot of harm to people. And I'm sure, some people still today thinking that, you know, they're doing that same powerful word, entrepreneur, in ways of doing harm to people with the intent to bring harm. They still know that that's what they are. Oh, man.
That's what they are, man. That's what
man,
they are.
Let me
take a minute. Because we're actually targeting a larger audience now. And by the way, we're grateful that the cities that we people have tuned into us from have increased now. We're up to now 15. But let me just take a minute to any new listeners to introduce what we talk about relative to you as an example of a entrepreneur, a risk taker. Pastor Waller, when I first came to Nashville 30 years ago, I came here to Fisk University, but I was volunteering at one of the housing projects. And two people that I come to know very clearly and hear about quite a bit was the Barbershop Boys and a guy infamously known as Fat Ricky, all right? That was this gentleman we're talking to now. He was one of, and he's written a book, and he's using his life story to educate young, particularly black men, prone and apt to go into the drug game and hustling and gang banking to turn their lives around. And he's graciously has agreed to use this book to help us promote our lecture and seminar series. That's really what this is all about. It's what this talk show is all about, Talk Straight. And this brother right here, I thank God for him, for what he does. But so listen, understand that when he's telling you about the risk and the aptitude that he had and the adaptability on the streets, and what he knows what he's talking about. And you can read it in this book, Still High. Go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Go to the contact us, and then at the bottom there you can go to the back store, and you'll find this brother's book, their powerful book. My son and I both read it, and I think it is a educational piece for sure. And I don't just say that lightly. But thank you for bringing that in, And I'm glad that you're able to share with me in this dialogue, man, because there's some good people, sir, who don't know about their own skill and talent.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, that's just, you know, something that when you brought it up, you know, as I said, I was saddened in many ways when I looked at it. You know, I just combined it all together, and I seen a lot out of what I was doing then and the multitude of people that I was supplying and I was distributing it to, you know, and they were doing just what they were supposed to do and more. And
okay.
I said, man, and so I had to get into the acceptance of that I can't change that I went through that. But what I can change
right.
about it today is to do mm-hmm. something positive in that area. And
okay.
put the same emphasis on something that can be done, even though I don't have all of that I had. I got rid of all of that to get peace, something that I never had. And, you know, I got rid of materialistic things, the fame and all that came along with it. And it took some time to get rid of that. But now
okay.
my phone don't even holler ring now.
What?
And so that gives me, oh, no, man, oh, no, I'm going back to square one now, so I can understand how David
wow.
kept going back to one. You see, when you sometimes have to go back to square one, man, you wonder if things are ever going to change. And so I want to just thank what you brought up, and it gave me a chance to say, hey, man, you were an entrepreneur back then.
Wow.
I mean, and you had
right.
24-hour service. That was going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
man.
Sir.
So,
yes,
so, man, just
you were
positive. Yes, go ahead.
Right, right. Now, I was just going to say, as bad as it were, as destructive as it were, you were meeting a need.
Yeah.
And you had a what they call a static and unmovable population that was coming to get that product from you. But that in mind, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let me go ahead and take this message, give this message. When we come back, I want to speak about an experience I had as a public school educator talking to young people and trying to encourage them. And I want to ask you a question about that, if you don't mind.
All right.
So after this message, we'll be right back. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. You can call us here at 657-383-0944. Give us a call now. We'll bring you right in after this break.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Everybody claims that they want the best things out of life. Around all day long singing, shine,
Welcome back to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're grateful to have with us Pastor Wallace sharing this powerful information in our dialogue. Let me just say we're airing live here from Nashville, Tennessee, and we have a storm warning out there, so we hope that we can keep going and we don't into the weather here. But nonetheless, we're going to keep going here. So we're talking about how to become an entrepreneur. And before the break, you just heard Bobby Womack talk about Harry Hippa, right, and what was going on with him. Oftentimes, we make excuses, Pastor, for our own demise. And I think that's driven out of this lack of confidence in ourselves. And it is a parent's duty and responsibility, a father in particular, to instill confidence and identity and purpose in a child. I know some good people missed out on that. But when I was teaching high school, I was a special ed teacher. And so, you know, we had a bunch of black males who were 11th and 12th graders who can do third grade math. We're talking about addition, subtraction, multiplication, using exponents and things of that nature, right? Now, my class graduated from high school. Some of them were in 11th grade, some of them were in 12th grade, all right? And so they gave me a little money to get some things, some teaching tools to help me with instruction to fix the classroom up. Well, I bought two dice, Pastor.
You bought, say that again, you bought
dice. You know how you shoot dice crap?
Dice game. Yes, sir.
We were teaching fractions, okay? We were teaching cutting. And I wanted them to demonstrate how to, some of the steps in fractions, right, to do fractions. And so the dice were there not so much to do the fraction, but to get their attention. So we had a little circle, and everybody got in the circle, and I got down first, and I threw the dice. Oh, man, I want it. Let me play. Let me get them.
Yeah, interesting.
We had about six or seven young guys in this circle, and the principal walked in. She's deceased now, bless her heart. She started laughing, man. She said, "Mr. Dockery, may I talk to you, please?"
I imagine so.
I said, "Sure." Yes. Now, they never put the dice down. They never put the dice down, okay?
Yeah.
I said, "Don't nobody pull no money out, because you better not put no money down on that floor." What are you doing? So I explained to her that by way of creating a desire for learning, we engaged them, and they knew that they were too old to be covering third grade material, right? And there was embarrassment there, right?
Okay.
And they knew couldn't keep up with geometry and things like trigonometry, which was on their regular grade level chronologically. And so we were able to engage them in some very simple concepts. The rule was, Pastor, you can't touch my dice if you're not willing to go up here and get on the board. And at
you
least
can't
try.
Touch. Okay.
My dice. Those are my dice. And you can't put your hand on my dice unless you're willing to go up there and take a stab at this problem on the board.
Okay.
Don't worry about not knowing how to do it, because everybody in this circle want to what? Shoot some dice. And we all got a problem here. Don't worry about that. Don't be embarrassed, but this is the deal. So the principal, she left. She said, I'm gonna trust you. I'm going to trust you. So she left. But do you know those young cats were able to demonstrate mastery over a period of time?
Oh, man. Interesting. Very interesting.
Now, guess what they taught me, though? They taught me how they would break off a nickel bag, a dime bag. Are you walking with me now?
All right.
They taught me how to cut an ounce, right? Well, they didn't teach me that, but they shared with me what they knew, right? And they told me how they cut their money, how they fold their money, and how they make sure they get paid, right?
Oh, man,
I said to myself, these cats ain't stupid by a long shot.
No, man.
They ain't dumb.
How you keep your attention, brother? Yeah, you got their attention. With, you know, when you got out on their level, you was able to bring them up, you know, to your teaching.
Absolutely.
And that was great, man. Yeah, that was, it sounded like God to me. It's a God move right there, man. You know, because, and I don't want to break what you were saying. I want you to finish saying what you were saying, if you will, and then I'll share this with you that I was, that I can relate to that.
Okay, all right. Let me just, I was just going to tell the audience, give us a call here, 657. If you listen to what we're talking about and you want in, 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. Check us out. Come to call right now. And we'd love to have you come in. But, yeah, go ahead, Pastor. What were you going to say now?
Yeah, we would love any callers to call in. It would be great, man. But what I was getting ready to say was, you know, how to meet a person where they are, you have to get down to their level in order to bring them up to yours if you have something to offer. Now, and
right.
I mean something positive, something that can reach them. So there's no way one cannot tell me that that wasn't a good example to use even in school. Okay? Now, because here out in the real world, there's an everyday fight. And so that's
right.
what I was dealing with. And then suddenly I got in contact with God, in whom I
Uh-oh.
Knew nothing about. I just
Uh-oh.
Heard about him. Didn't know nothing about him other than God was good. And I said, well, okay, that's easy to say that. But let me find out for myself, because someone said you have to try him for yourself. Okay, so I did. And I was not too joyful about how I was going to try him. But I thought about it. If I'm going to know that he know everything about everything that goes on in the world, I said, well, is that needing me hiding my game then? So I came to him just as I was with my game and everything. He said, look here, God, you got dope on me. I got dope on me. And I need to go use some in the bathroom, in church and everything. I just was told that I can visit the church and I can come as I am. And, you know, I do drugs on, you know, from Monday to Saturday. So, you know, I'm going to do something on Sunday, too, because I don't know nothing about how to do it just 6 days. I do it every day.
Right.
So, in other words, never told me to stop. Don't you come in here with that. Don't you do that.
Right.
He said, come as you are. Okay. So I took the chance, and that's the way I went into the church. But make a long story short, I remember one day I was getting ready to stop coming. I said, that I'm tired of disrespecting God. I got to a point where I thought I was disrespecting God and everything. Well, the enemy was attacking me because he knew that I was in the right place. He knew God hadn't said nothing about me using the drugs, hadn't told me to stop. You know, he didn't, the enemy knew that. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says that the devil believed, but he trembled.
I see.
But it wasn't like, you know, the enemy didn't know. He just didn't want me to know that the enemy got the kind of... He don't want me to know that he believed, and he's just shaking right now because he's like, how this boy going to keep coming up in and doing that? No, boy, you know you're wrong. But anyway, so I've been coming for about 6 months, man, and I just decided to have a little talk with him because I heard someone sing a song like that, just a little talk with Jesus and make everything all right. I heard him sing that. So I'm in the bathroom, man. I'm just tired of going in there. I'm tired of going in there every Sunday using that dope, man. And so I'm getting ready to talk to him. I pulled out my heroin pack. That aluminum foil, I pulled it out and I opened it up. And before I took a sniff of it, I decided to say something to it.
Okay.
I said, God,
okay.
coming up in here disrespecting you. And that's all I said. That was my prayer, I guess. And he said, you're in the right place. Now, I know I heard the voice, you're in the right place. And I didn't
think. Did it speak to you? Did it speak to you?
Yes, sir. I didn't know nothing about God as a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I didn't know none of that.
Right,
but
right,
I just
right,
knew
right,
what
right.
I understood what I knew. And so he met me right where I was at and told me, said, you're in the right place. So I took a sniff of the heroin and went to sit down in the congregation.
Okay.
I didn't go out the door like I needed to. So I'm saying all that to say that he met me where I was at. He did not tell
right
me
where
to
you
stop
were.
Doing it because he knew I was going to change eventually. And that's
okay.
what I saw in the eyes that you was down on your knees with in there with them crafts. You see what I'm saying? You know, you met them where they was at, and they was able to learn from what you taught them, and you found out, you know, they say you can tell them about all their trouble. They told you about their troubles, man. They said, look, I can
Absolutely.
Tell you about a marijuana. I can tell you how this and that and other go about it. And that's what I like about what you just shared, man. That was a positive form of information right there, and that is, it's in my book on how I went to God, man. That's how I went to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know what was most...
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
What was most what was most interesting, Pastor, about that interchange with young men is they were proud to demonstrate to me what they actually knew.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. I can see
now,
that.
I could have shunned them. I could have shunned them. I could have put them down, and I could have discredited and everything and told them, no, that's just dope, and that, you know, that's the devil's work and so forth and so on. But they were happy to be able to demonstrate what they had an expertise in.
Yeah, man.
And
thank
the balance there, though, the balance there was when we were able to get to a point where we shared with them that this may be where you are today, but think about this question. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Okay.
And how could the information you learn today take you 10 years to success? Obviously, you got some kind of skill. You got some kind of skill. And you know, you can process information pretty good if you can do that well. See, you can't be no dummy on the street. You can't be no dummy on the street, man.
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
That's
correct. That is correct.
You
got to
have some street smarts.
Yes, sir. Believe me, man.
And these are some of the characteristics of a successful entrepreneur. I'm saying that to get to the point, sir, that when we teach young people to get a college education, go to high school, go to secondary school and post-secondary school and get an education, that's true, that's important. But part of it has to be an encouragement for them to know who they are, what their real gift and talent is, and work on perfecting that. Because there have been people in American history who did not have formal education, but they're literally billionaires today.
Man, goodness.
This is where the notion on the street comes. I ain't going to get no job or go to school for so many years when I can make me a dollar, when I can make thousands of dollars in a minute.
Man,
I'm
going to
just
get my
hustle on. There's a rap song that says I'm going to get rich and die or die trying.
Yeah, and see, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm thinking about the powerful word entrepreneur again. And they may not never mention that. They may not mention, you know, they're going to sell the dope and, you know, and not even never acknowledge that that's exactly what they're capable of being and doing.
Absolutely.
And
that's
doing
it.
Well.
That's the message.
And, man, great information, brother. Believe me, great information. And I trust that someone would call in or someone was listening and would go tell someone. You know, and then they have to turn around, and because I didn't have that chance when I was in the game, the game captured me, took me all the way through, and made me holler for help. See, so I didn't have no knowledge at all. I took a beat down, and I just wasn't willing to take a second round of the beat down I took the first round. I couldn't stand the second round of that. And I mean, when I say I'm talking about the harm I did to other people and all of that, you know, through the hands of the wicked, the drug game and all of that, man. So, I just thank you for this information. Believe me, brother, it meant a lot to hear.
Thank you. And that's our purpose here. That's what we're aiming to do. As we go into these markets, to these cities, and share the information that we share, this is the essence of what we're talking about. Wherever there's high poverty and you see crime, high poverty, and social despair, I want to suggest to our listening audience and to those we engage that one of the solutions, jobs are good, you know, investment in jobs are good. Don't take that off the table. But also consider tapping into a natural skill in a natural drive that these young people have, and that is to become entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Now, just imagine if these guys run around with their pants hanging down and they got pistols hanging in the gap of their pants and what have you in their pockets and they slanging and banging. Just imagine, sir, if you stopped them for a second and you got their attention to think about, hey, you got a natural skill to do something good that can be profitable for you long term.
Yeah, man. goodness.
You think we can turn some things around?
I believe that, man. As a believer, I do believe that, I must admit. You know, because I would always say these encouraging words right here to go along with what you just said. Do you think we can do that? Yeah, when you think on these things and when you think on those positive things that you're talking about, yes, I would say that they deserve, you know, great information such as what we're talking about now. And this is another thing that I also would add to that. I would say that I personally, just because of my experience of getting free, I don't never intend to going back to selling not one grain of drugs again. You know? I mean, I've been for the rest of my life, man. And so the moment I don't have to get another dime in that area, I just say to whoever it is that's still caught up, that there is hope, you know. And I know there's someone in the game that's in the game that's not trying to harm the community. They're not trying to harm their neighborhood. If some that's in it like that, man, I know what I'm talking about right here because I'm that person. I'm the very person did not intend to enslave my community like I did. That was not my intention.
So
and,
when
you know,
we're young dudes, help me with this. When a young fella pulls a gun on another fella over territory for the sale and distribution of illegal substances, and he pulls the trigger, and he can never take back that bullet that comes out the chamber,
right?
And it destroys that young man's body and his life subsequently, you're saying he didn't really mean, chances are he didn't mean it to destroy nobody.
Now,
he thought he was protecting his ground.
Yeah.
Help me understand it. Explain it to me.
I give or take, I say, you know, 1 out of 100, you know, I give or take it, mate, you know, I'm bold, I'm mean, I'm tough, you know, okay. I give that, you know, just to keep hope alive because that's what faith is all about. I leave the 99, you know what I mean, just to go get the one. So it could be one that's like that, that think he's tough like that. But 99 of them, man, you understand? So I believe that they, you know, on the flip side, are not doing it because they really, really, really think this is my turf. They don't know any better, and nobody can tell me that they know better because if they, you know, the word said, and I came to myself, you know, and that's what, if a person comes to themselves, you know, they'll realize it within themselves. You know, but somebody will say, well, yeah, I did it, and I meant to do it. You know, okay, somebody may say that. I'm not going to say that there's not none. Nobody's that's, you know, to say that. How do you know? I would say it's possible that someone can say that, hey, this is my turf. But when you don't know no better, when you're ignorant, like I myself was, and I admit that I was ignorant, that's saying that I really mean no harm, man. That's what that was, because other than that, I would not say I was ignorant. Oh, I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to change it now, but I just say, you know, the song say, if I can turn back the hands of time, but I know that I'm able to do it. You see what I'm saying? I know I'm unable to do it, man. But I can't change that. I know one thing I can change about today is that I would not, nobody no dope. I don't care if it's one penny, $10 trillion, you understand? The Bible says, what is the man profit the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would he give in exchange? Man, I made an exchange, Pastor.
Wow.
I said, God, look, man, when it hit me as hard as it hit me in 1997 about the harm I was bringing to the community, I said to myself, whenever I do stop, I'll never start back selling dope, man, the way I see this. Just corrupting my own community. And I'm sitting around here talking about I'm getting the money. See, I came to myself. See, I realized it took, look how long it took for me to realize I got off of drugs in 92. In 1992, I got off of drugs. I put drugs in my body. But I was still slanging. And see, that's why I was telling you God was so gracious and merciful and kind to me that he did not tell me to stop selling dope. He knew it was going to weigh on me.
Right. You knew. You know, Pastor,
yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
As I listen to your powerful story, I realize, and to be totally honest, it's not that I did notice, but it just come back to me that if we're going to be effective at changing the lives of those who are castigated on the periphery of society because of their lack of education, because of their day-to-day hustle like urchins in the street, right? If we're going to be successful at bringing them up, I know a lot of times people say we want to help young people and help the youth and improve people's lives. They're talking about those that are just marginally off of kilter or out of order. But what about going, with all due respect, to the very bottom of the barrel and find
yeah.
that thing, that gem, that diamond that has been thrown away? What about that?
Finding
what about
it.
Going getting? What about going to the very bottom where it's nasty,
yeah.
it don't smell good, don't smell
yeah,
good.
Man.
And you put
man,
your hand
man.
Down and the dog is kind of slimy and greasy. And, but something is down at the bottom of the barrel, my brother, that is valuable, like diamonds.
But you got on a nice outfit is basically what you're saying, but it's something deep down off into the ground, you know, and you're kind of getting out to the core of it. But when you're dressed like, you know, when you're dressed like, and they got a thing that they call your Sunday best, you know, whatever day it is, you dress nice. You mean tell
you
me
want
you
me
want
to
somebody?
Do what?
Yeah, you want me to get off in fucking mile, you know, down off into the deep. Okay, and that, man, yeah, man. I mean, you know, think about it. And I'm that individual that came in to see that it was going on like that. People were dressing nice, man.
I see.
You know,
I
they
see.
Were.
I see.
Nice, and I don't see any of them that was aware that that problem that you talked about was deep. See them saying, well, this outfit got to go with me. Yeah, I'm going down deep now. You know, I'm ready to go get me some dinner. I'm going to get ready to go turn the TV on, and I'm going to kick back. I've done my duty for the day. I went to church.
Right.
And the Bible says plainly. It says plainly. I've seen it in the book, Pastor, and I came into the church without a Bible. But I've seen it in the book. It
what
says,
you see? What you see?
You say that it's 4 months and then come harvest. It says, lift up your eyes and look on the field.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They are white already for harvest. Don't wait 4 months for the season to change. You know, look, open
right.
your eyes. Look on the, when you leave out that building, look out there. You're going to see people out there crying out right now. Why you won't pull over and stop and encourage them, say something positive. That's what he's saying. Look out on the field. Lift up your eyes. In other words, pay attention. Don't pretend like you don't see these people out there crying out. I don't
Correct.
Know what the word of God is. That's not under fat Rick is talking now. You know? And so I said, I've seen it in the book. Now, if I didn't see it in
right.
the book, I wouldn't say anything. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, do the best that I can. But I've seen it in the book, and he wasn't just talking to me. He was
right.
telling the people, you understand what I'm saying, who have that relationship, who have that spiritual foundation, who have that power that, you know, when you come into the church, I mean, you got the power, so you're supposed to do something with it. And why
right.
would you get the power in the church if you're not going to carry it out?
Mama.
I mean, to me,
Mama.
It's
Mama.
Like, what is the power going to do? Okay, I got power in the church today. I'll wait to come back next week and do it all over again. But I don't know,
gotcha.
Man. I just didn't, it didn't sit well with me when I saw in the book. You know,
okay,
and that's
okay.
when I seen it in the book. That's when it didn't sit well with me, and I said,
right.
I can't sit up in these buildings now with these people crying out, you know, and they deserve information. And so I'm looking in this book, and I said, here it is again. It's in there again. Even
right.
you know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. You know, it really gave me a sense of compassion right there when it says, and Jesus went about all the villages and, you know, and synagogues, he said, teaching and preaching the kingdom of God and healing every kind of sickness and disease that was among the people. But then he said, but when he seen the multitude, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Compassion on them. Listen to that. Compassion on them because they was wearied like sheep scattered without no shepherd. Could you imagine?
Right, right.
You know, seeing multitudes of people now, multitudes, not one where you couldn't see, multitudes.
Help us, Holy
Ghost.
You know, he was
compassion. So since he had compassion on them, he decided to turn to his disciples, people who said that they trusted
right.
in him.
Right.
And he
right.
told them, he said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
The
he
laborers.
So pray to the Lord,
okay.
all the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. What is he talking about? Send forth?
That, hold on. Hold that thought right there. I got something for you on that. Let me get this. We're at the top of the hour. Let me get this last break in here. I'll stay right there.
Yeah.
The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers
yes.
are few. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's what I said.
Hold that
point
right there. Hold that point right there. Hold that point. I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Bless you, brother.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome back to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Our good friend, Pastor Ricky Wall, is on with us tonight. And again, the number is 657-383-0944. Y'all give us a call. Listen, before we left to the break, Pastor, you've said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers
yeah.
are few. Is that right? But now,
I said that.
Very much like Bobby Womack talking about the hustle on 110th Street in Harlem, in Nashville,
yeah.
in Chicago, in Indiana, in Detroit, in Miami,
yeah.
Florida, in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
in New Orleans, right?
Go ahead. Just
Birmingham, Alabama, Columbus, Mississippi. Hustle on the street. There's a hustle on the street.
Uh-huh.
And you can see how they craft the argument that, hey, I got to do this to survive. You understand what I'm
right.
saying? Just like on 110th Street. But watch this.
Yeah.
You say it, that the harvest is plentiful. But I read an article today, earlier today, as I was preparing for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for opportunities. Well, come to find out in California, because of some of the policies of both President Obama and their current president, Donald Trump, the farmers in California don't have laborers because many of them were undocumented immigrants, and they're afraid that they're going to get rounded up and go. So guess how much they pay an hour?
How much,
for you to come out there and pour their pot? We're talking about carrots and potatoes and fruit and vegetables and things of that nature, watermelon. Guess how much they're paying an hour?
I need to know that. What are you going to say?
$28 an hour.
$28 an hour. $28 an hour, man.
they're in desperate need of workers.
$28 per hour, brother.
Right, right. Now, let's go back on 110th Street and the similar street in those cities I just named. How
all
many brothers do you think we can get to go with us to go make that money?
Oh, man. And they're on the street.
They're on the street right now.
Right now, looking for a way.
Pastor, you and I can go get in the car right now, and we can roll up on the block right now, and I can show them to you right this second. If we wasn't on the radio, I'd take it from right now.
So you saying even right now, at the time that we are speaking, they're on the corners right now.
They're on the block. They're on the block.
And all you need is someone to encourage them to say, this not only would be $28 per hour, but it also keeps you free.
Right.
You
don't
know?
Just go and work for them, but start you become an independent contractor and say, I'll come here and make this money for you. $28 is not enough for me. You pay me $50.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you get so much of your crop pulled.
Okay.
Are you walking?
So
with
now
me?
You.
I'm talking about
entrepreneur
now.
Yeah, okay, now. There we go.
Let me show you what that means. That means you have to take the risk of getting off the block, doing whatever you do right now, and to go put yourself in a position where you market yourself, your skill. But you know the argument that I had young cats tell me when I was campaigning, I found out the state of Tennessee have monies in agricultural works and what have you, that, and there's a possibility where they will help you to lease land to produce these crops. Then you won't have to bring them from California and Florida and places like that. You can produce them and sell them to the store markets right here in your city. We got food deserts right here in Davidson County, right? But that means you got to take the risk of what? Not only talking about it, but being about it.
Yeah, you definitely got to do that. That's where the risk come in at. You're taking the risk.
But you said the harvest is plentiful.
It is. It is. You know, according to the Word of God. Now, I mean, that's where I got it from. And so, and that's why I put emphasis on it, because I didn't want no one to think that I'm trying to force people to do anything. I just... to make sure that what I was seeing in the book, were they seeing it as well? You know, and if they wasn't seeing it, I often wonder why they haven't ran into it yet, you know, because I didn't go into the church with the Bible. Neither did I pick one up for a long time. And I understand that the word says faith cometh by hearing. I do understand that. And hearing by the word of God. You know, I was okay with just listening. But then one day I picked the Bible up and I peeked it. I seen it in there. I said, man, look here. I said, it even says go out into the world. I said, wait a minute, hold it. Now, if it says go out into the world, man, I know that does not mean stay inside the church, man. Not if it says go. I mean, I would be the first to say I was ignorant and unlearned. And I didn't do a whole lot of schooling, you know, because I got captured real early in the game. So I wasn't too much get in school. I got stripped from that part. But anyway, I do know what the word go means. You know, and when he says go out into the world
and yes, sir.
I know good and well what that meant. That
you
meant
know
you
what
cannot,
that means.
Yeah. It had to mean go. You know, don't stay in here.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to go out because I'll be with you. And that's the part that got me. He's saying, lo, I will be with you. I said, wait a minute. He even said that he'll be with me if I go. I said, well, I said, he knew when I seen that, he knew that it was going to get my attention. And
okay.
I wasn't going to be able to sit up in there, you know, not with a form of denial. You know, I can sit up in there and say, well, I got mine, let them get their own. I can, but it wouldn't be because I didn't see it. And
right.
that was a fake thing. Yeah, man. That, you know, the people outside deserve it. That's what I'm saying. The people outside, they really do deserve it, man. You know, they
sure.
really, they really. I believe a lot of people would change their direction.
Let me bring this back to the school dropout, to the
mm-hmm.
thug, to the gangster, to the
okay.
hustler, to the drug dealer, to the drug user.
All right.
I want you to try on for a second this garb of an entrepreneur, and let's see what it can bring out of you. Okay, so here's what we got to do. We got to give up some. We got to manage our time better, right? We got to manage our time in such a way that we are available to take advantage of the opportunities that are out there. Look for holes, gaps in service, and where there's a need, and ask yourself, how can I fill that void? Something tells me that there's an opportunity there, my brother.
Yeah, there's a void there, but there's an opportunity telling you that.
Right. The harvest is plentiful, but the labor are few. In other words, sir, it's plenty of work to be done. Ain't nobody got to argue, fight, and shoot and kill nobody over. Yeah, it's plenty. I mean, it's money out here to be made in America.
Yeah.
Now, some people would ask, you a preacher, why are you talking about this stuff? Why are you not just talking about the Bible? I'm talking about the Bible right now.
That's right. That's what you're talking about.
Wait a minute. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Let me Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis means the beginning, right? That's what Genesis means, the beginning, right? Genesis, the first chapter, and the 29th verse. And God said, who said it, Pastor?
Yeah, God said, now that's order.
If it's a lie, they got it written right here. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you, it shall be for me. Now, when you read the text and you look at it real careful, I think we can walk away with the conclusion that these natural resources are given to man to take care of himself. Now, why we got
to
go shoot and kill nobody over that? All this natural resource in the world, all
it's
these opportunities that are waiting on somebody.
Just waiting, man.
I know what the problem is. The enemy got you thinking you need to run around like a wild animal, destroying your people with dope and everything else, prostitution and all these other vices, and even destroying yourself. The enemy got you believing you got to do that to survive and to be happy.
That's. And Pastor, listen, man, and I'll be the first to say that there's not easy at all trying to escape. It's like to escape from being in a prison. And I can say this, I'm not talking about behind bars, I'm talking about in a prison. I've been in a prison, man, for a long, 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 long time, man. I wasn't behind the bars, man. I wasn't even behind the bars. That's what's so sad about it.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Now, listen, mine is incarcerated. And I mean, there's no freedom when you're mad. Okay? I'm talking about me now.
I'm not talking about nobody. Talk to me.
And in the midst of me coming to myself and recognize that, man, I'm locked down in my own community, man.
My Lord. It
was so bad. And it bothers me now every now and then when I talk about it. Bad, man. In my own community, when I supposed to, and somebody's talking about freedom to do this, freedom to do that, and here I am, I'm not even free in my own community. Man, what's wrong with that picture? And then he couldn't even escape when I found out I was locked down.
My.
That was a crease of shame, you know, and guilt. And then me blaming myself for all the harm and things that I had done to my community, man, at the hands of the wicked. And then I still couldn't escape. And so I hollered for help, man, and I said, man, if I ever escape this, I'll never go back, you know? And so that's where the joy comes in today.
Yes,
because know for the truth, man, that it was a trap. I was, and some may not think that there's a trap, and I, you know, I put emphasis on it a lot of times, but why would the Bible say it? Why would it say that, that we would come to our senses and escape? Now the trap of the devil having been taken captive by him to do his will. Well, how come that is not incarceration?
That's what it is.
So I found it in the Word. After me realizing it, before I seen it in the Word, and then later on I saw it in the Word, I said, man, the Word of God said that I was in a trap. I was in captivity. So why shouldn't I believe that? And now that I have escaped, I know, man, that our community are full of people right now. Not to mention the ones that's behind bars. I just want to talk about the ones that's out here in the real world, man. Incarcerated in their mind.
Why
would you think that the enemy would blind the mind of the children of God who are disobedient? Their mind are blind, then they cannot see that they're dead in their sins and trespasses and everything. So I knew once I found out that information, man, I said, man, I got a debt I have to pay.
Right.
I missed my community when I owed them. I'm going to say one more thing, then I'm going to give it back over to you if you will.
Okay.
I knew nothing about this man that climbed up into the tree. That was a wealthy, rich man. But he was crazy, man, on the inside. You know, the man named Zacchaeus.
The
man was so bad that he got around people that was looking for the Lord to show up, so he thought he'd get around them.
And as he was fast approaching,
they looked around and seen him, and they didn't even want him in the circle with them, man.
He decided to
move himself from them and went up into a sycamore tree because he knew who was passing by. He didn't want to say nothing to him. And I know that once he did get up in that tree and Jesus came by that stadium and told him to come down, and he came down quick, fast, and in a hurry, and he hung out with him. And the next thing he knew, he started confessing. He told the Lord, you understand? He said, look, Lord, I tell you the truth. He said, for all the people that I have harmed, I give them four times as much. That man was hurting so bad, he was ready to give up his wealth and everything.
Help
he said, I give them four times. And if there's anybody that I've been saying by false accusation, he wanted to make sure that he give them. Don't come jogging. I'm going to done something
right,
to you.
Right,
I
right.
didn't, but if I've done something to you, I'm going to give you four times as much. He said, I'm going to give half of my good to the poor. He wanted to give half his good to the poor. So, you know, he had a heart for change, man.
Yes,
and
sir.
No, I didn't
yes,
have
sir.
Much
yes.
like that. But, man, I felt like I was in debt to my community, and I was going to do all I can do to pay them as much as I could back. Amen. So that's,
okay.
you know,
okay.
that,
okay.
man. That's a painful thing when
that'll
you know
be.
You have harmed people. You know.
All right. Yeah. Now, let me add this to what you're saying. We got 8 minutes. I want to give those 10 characteristics of an entrepreneur that are in the mind of a successful entrepreneur. That all right, Brother Pastor? Before we leave.
Yes.
Let me just
yes,
give
sir.
It to you right quick. One, full of determination. Two, not afraid to take a risk, a chance on your own economic independence. Three.
Yes, sir.
Acquire and maintain a high level of confidence in yourself. I don't care who don't believe in you or your business concept. You got to convince yourself, I am and I can and I will. Four.
Yes, sir.
You got to crave. You got to thirst after knowledge and learning and understanding. The Bible said, study to show yourself approved.
Yes,
work will need not be a thing. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Five, understand that failure, a setback, don't mean it's over, but there's a lesson to be learned. If it don't kill you, it'll make you strong.
Yeah,
six,
yeah,
you've got to hold a passion for your business idea concept. You got to be passionate about it. Seven, highly adaptable. Be willing to adapt to whatever changing situation that may come your way. Don't be so touchy-feely and scared, but be able to adapt. Eight, have a good understanding of how to manage your money. I ain't talking about nobody else's money. Your money. Learn. If you don't know, learn how to manage your money and your time. Nine, become an expert at reaching out and building good, wholesome relationships with people. That's your clientele. And number 10, you've got to have the ability to promote yourself and your product. If you can't express what it is that makes you or your product or service a solution to a problem, you will be in for a rough ride. And if you, the creator of the solution, of the answer, the product, cannot explain it and its usefulness, then guess what? Ain't nobody else gonna do it for you. Those are 10 characteristics of an entrepreneur. I dare you to try them. I dare you to try them. You listen to Talk Straight. You listen to Talk Straight, and I'm going to give it to you straight tonight. This is your host, Reverend Doctrine. My good friend and brother, Pastor Ricky Wallace, here with us. And we just shooting, we just keeping it 100, that's all. That's all we're doing. We're just keeping it 100. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it, Pastor?
No, it's not, man. I think they deserve it that way. I mean, you know, if God is going to accept an individual right where they are, you know, I think they got to give it up real, you know, and that's the only way, you know, to bring it to him is to keep it real with him. And I guarantee you, he would not neglect a great opportunity like that, you know, when someone is keeping
right.
it real, because, you know, he know exactly what you're dealing with and how long you've been dealing with it. And also he know what to do about it. And so I would say, yes, you're right. You know, you got to keep it 100 with him. You know, it's better
yeah.
that way.
There are some people who are thirsting after not only righteousness, but knowledge to improve their lives. And if we're not willing to make whatever sacrifice there is to share that knowledge, then what good is our service as a minister in the building
right.
of the kingdom? We have no purpose. We have no purpose.
That's correct.
And that's where it is. That's where it is. That's where it is. Grateful for you tuning in to us tonight, and those that get this episode later, by all means, go to www.bfcinstitute.com. You'll find my email there. You'll find my phone number there, and you'll find a way to join us and subscribe to our page. Look over the website, but I want you to do this before you stop, before you leave. Make sure you go and you make a contribution to our cause. That's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. This information that we're sharing tonight, we hope to share it by way of CD to others and other venues, and to take this message to beyond just talk. We want to transform it into action. But I like what Pastor Wallace said. How can the people hear without a preacher? And how can the preacher preach except he be sent? Is that did you read that somewhere, Pastor?
It's in the book, man. I mean, that's in the book. Unless you get out there and present it to them. I mean, if you haven't been sent, you're not going to do it anyway. So that's understandable.
I see.
That's why he said that the harvest is plentiful, because, the labor's on the feet. God told him to pray to that who owned the harvest, that he was sent forth more laborers, man. So there's some more out there need to get out there. And that's the reason why you pray that someone else would go out there, because there's already a few out there doing it. But just imagine.
That's right.
More
getting everybody.
Out there. Yeah, you see a big change. You see a big deserving in our communities, man, all over the world.
You got a concept stuck in my mind tonight, Brother Pastor, and that is the incarcerated mind. I want to talk about that. That sounds like an episode. The incarcerated mind. I believe that's a thought we need to intimate. We probably need to do something with that. Do something with that.
Yeah,
I'll be getting, man, I'll be getting with you, because that's something we need to walk with right there.
Yeah, it's a lot of truth in it.
Incarcerated mind. Yes, sir. So with that being said, we got 90 seconds before we get out of here. We're going to leave on this note. Marvin Gaye said that there's a troubled man, but the good news is we now know how to be a good entrepreneur. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery, and our good friend and loyal panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Still High. Go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the contact the staff and go down and go to the back store and get the book. Check it out. We'll see you on next week, on Tuesday of next week.
Trouble.